On the bulletin board in the office of the Board of Education, 65 McCampbell Road, Homedale, New Jersey, and the district's website, and sent to four district schools. The mailing and/or hand delivery of said notice to the designated newspapers, Asbury Park Press, Independent, the PLG, PSG, PSA, PTSO, SAB presidents, and student representatives to the board. Filing with the clerk of Homedale Township Police Headquarters and Public Library. Meetings of the board are open to the public, and all members of the community should feel free to participate. There are two opportunities for the public to speak. The first is at the beginning of the meeting for agenda items only, and the second is at the end of the meeting for other items. Any individual desiring to speak shall give his or her name, address, and group, if any, that is represented. Minutes be referred by the president to a board committee and/or to the superintendent for consideration and/or resolution. The board vests in its president or other presiding officers authority to terminate the remarks of any individual if he or she deems it in the best interest of those to do so. We have a roll call, please.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Here.
Mrs. Zinni.
Here.
Mrs. Sokol.
Here.
Mr.
Here.
Mrs. Brigamonte.
Here.
Mr. Wall.
Here.
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 Mrs. Tassillo.
Here.
Well.
Thank you. Can you please stand for the flag salute?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, justice.
Got a packed house, bro. Standing room only, man.
We have three presentations today, and I'm delighted to introduce our incoming superintendent, Dr. Scott Kescone, who's going to briefly speak to us and show us his introductory video. You can take it off.
Not sure where to turn. The audience. Okay, very good. Good evening, President Urbanski, members of the board, administration, and of course, our community members here today. Thankful to be here tonight and appreciate the opportunity. I will make my remarks brief because I know we have some most important business of recognizing some exemplary educators, and it would appear that we have some community members with some important feedback to provide. So I will be brief. Again, just thrilled to be here, thrilled for the opportunity. I put together a little introductory video, which will subsequently be shared on the district website via school email. And it's really represents sort of the first step in a transition plan in getting acquainted with the community, having the community get acquainted with me. Early next week, with the board's assistance, the administration's assistance, I'll distribute a brief entry plan, which will provide the community with an idea of some of the actions which I'll take both in the interim period before I actually assume the position and then, of course, once I start. I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge my family that's here tonight, my wife Diana, my daughters Sophia and Gabriella. Appreciate you coming here tonight. And I am missing one. See, it was too good to be true. One is at work. So you know how that goes with teenage kids. But it's also really just speaks to the importance of family for me personally. You know, as a person, there's only one thing that's more important than my work and serving the community and the children of the school district I serve, and that's my family. But they're close. They're close to one another. So without further ado, Anthony, if you would mind. Stephen, I'm sorry, queuing up the video. And then I'll just close with a few brief remarks and we'll be on our way.
Greetings, I'm Dr. Scott Kescone, and I wanted to take an opportunity to introduce myself to the Homedale Public Schools community. As you're now aware, the Board of Education earlier this month appointed me to serve as the next superintendent of schools for your outstanding district and community. In my conversations with your board members, their commitment, dedication, and love for this community has been abundantly clear. I'm looking forward to partnering with them and lending my experience and expertise to facilitate their efforts in the sound governance of the district. Let me first say that I consider this a tremendous honor and sacred responsibility to serve as the caretaker and steward of the community's schools and its most precious resource, its children. Holmdel Public Schools deserve the most capable, committed, and consistent leadership in the superintendent position, and this is precisely what I will bring from day one and every day after that. Holmdel Public Schools is a district with a long and rich legacy and tradition of excellence, achievement, and community pride. It is my goal to help to continue and strengthen these traditions, as well as to listen, understand, and address the educational issues most important to our district students, staff, families, and community members. You may expect in me a leader who will approach the work with integrity, high personal and professional character and accountability, a tireless work ethic, and with a sincere interest in listening and understanding the viewpoints of all my constituents. We are living in complicated times, and Holmdel Public Schools should feel proud of the manner in which the district has continued to move forward, notwithstanding the challenges, whether through continued excellence and achievement in the classrooms, performing stages, and athletic fields, or the successful passing and completion of a $40 million building referendum as part of Initiative 2020. The caliber and mettle of this community and district has continued to reveal itself in these extraordinary times. From the first day I stepped into the field of education, I did so to serve students and children. I did so because I believe strongly in public education as a vehicle for nurturing young minds and spirits in order that they can achieve at their highest level and realize all of their dreams and aspirations. In this way, we not only ensure that each individual leads the life of their full potential, but also becomes a productive and positively contributing member of our society. In these times in which we live, these goals have never been more critical to the future of our children, our communities, nation, and world. The key to the success of any team, of any organization, is the shared ownership and accountability for a collective vision for the future. And the development of this vision can only be accomplished through careful and active listening and the appreciation of multiple viewpoints and perspectives. I'm looking forward to partnering with Holmdel's outstanding team of administrators and professional staff. As a school leader, it is incumbent upon me, through my leadership and decision-making ability, to develop and implement systems which contribute to a professional, effective, and efficiently run organization. An organization built upon mutual respect and trust, and which therefore is characterized by open, honest, and constructive professional feedback. An environment where all individuals are motivated and inspired to be their best personal and professional selves and have the necessary supports in place to perform and develop at the highest levels. To the amazing students, you are the most important, hardest working, and resilient people in the district. Simply put, you amaze me every day. I promise you that as your superintendent, I will not simply be an anonymous figurehead whose voice you hear from time to time at board meetings, graduation, or when making snow day calls. I am committed and looking forward to getting to know you, to understand your hopes and aspirations for your school district and yourselves. I can't wait to meet you and to come out and support you in all that you do. Too often the student voice, the most important voice of all, is not heard, not considered. Trust me when I tell you that will not be the case with me as your superintendent. We stand at a great crossroads in our collective history. Discord, division, and misunderstanding regrettably abound in our society at this time. However, here on the local community level, we have within our hands the power to create an environment, a culture, a phenomenon that counteracts these negative forces in our society, to chart a course forward that aligns with the values and beliefs of our community. It's time to shine as a beacon of hope and progress. In order to do that, we must remain unified. Even in our debate and disagreement, let us strive to engage in civil discourse. Critical to this on the part of the school district will be to provide regular opportunities for inclusive conversation with all stakeholders. Opportunities to provide perspective and feedback, which can help inform the district's goal setting and the crafting of its vision for the future. Now is the time to be daringly innovative with regard to how we shape and modify our approach to teaching and learning in order to fully align it with the vision for 21st century education originally proposed more than two decades ago. And fundamental to this will be, amongst other things, creating diverse and alternate pathways to post-secondary pursuits, further infusing the teaching and learning processes with robust student inquiry and choice, and the rethinking and reimagining of some of the standard conventions of school physical learning environments and more authentic and real-world based opportunities. In order that we position all of our students for post-secondary success, we must ensure along the way that our instruction is highly differentiated, whether within the regular education program, special education program, or through our gifted and talented programs. Together, through our collective thoughts, labors, and commitment, we will move Homedale Public Schools into its greatest era of achievement. We will be uplifted by this esprit de corps, and from miles around, people will hear the mighty buzz of the Homedale Hornets. I want to thank you for taking the time to view this video. I can't wait to get started and meet you all, and I'm again honored to have been welcomed into the Homedale Public Schools community.
Well, I'm excited. I don't know if you are. No, but I really am. We're going to do great things together. I cannot wait to start, which I'm hoping to do as soon as possible. Again, I want to thank the board for the opportunity to be here tonight, and I look forward to getting to know you all better and moving our district forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cascone. We certainly are looking forward to your starting too. Not that Mr. Howard hasn't been exemplary. Our next presentation is the Exemplary Educator Awards, and Mr. Howard would like to say a few words.
Seeing this award last year, I know how important it is to not only be recognized by the state, but also by your colleagues. So it's a big deal. In Homedale, there's lots of exemplary educators. So to get any kind of recognition is no small feat in this district. So with that, I'd just like to turn it over to our building principals who are going to actually give the awards out tonight. First up is Ms. Farise for Indian Hill.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Alicia Farise, and I'm the principal of Indian Hill School. And tonight, I have the pleasure and the honor of introducing Mr. Kevin McCarthy. As a 26-year veteran teacher, Mr. McCarthy has touched many lives over the years. He is an amazingly dedicated teacher, husband, dad, and friend. In fact, so dedicated, he didn't even stop teaching when I surprised him with the news in his classroom. He is constantly thinking of the kids and creating ways for the students to learn the curriculum. He truly does treat all of his students just like he treats his own children. The students have nothing but great things to say about Mr. McCarthy's class, and he is an asset to our district. Mr. McCarthy, come on up.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Bill Locker, a principal at William R. Satt School. I'm joined by Ms. Simonelli, Chantel Simonelli, if she would come up. And we together have the great, take this out. We have the great privilege of recognizing four exemplary educators from Satt School. And so if they would please all come up at the same time, and we'll introduce each of them individually. If they could all come on up here, please. So we're going to do a little juggling here. We're joined this evening by Ms. Mary Ann Acero. We can clap for her. Ms. Mary Ann Acero. Ms. Heather Barry. Dr. Christy Rizzo. And Ms. Carla Villacross. Mary Ann Acero is in her 15th year of teaching. She is a science teacher at the Satt School, in addition to being a co-advisor of the Builders Club and the Best Buddies organization. She has lots of memories over the years in education. Some of her favorites, and I just want to quote her, the organized chaos that is a classroom of in-person learning this year, which is a far cry from our coronavirus days and remote learning. Going back even further, Ms. Acero remembers the proud face of a student once walking toward his car, his parents' car, actually, not his, with a nearly 3-foot project, and the parents saying, how am I going to get that into the car? And she looks forward to those kind of projects coming up this spring. So good luck, parents, in that endeavor. I asked Ms. Acero about any personal mottos, and she mentioned to me the motto that she strives to live by is Ohana means family, and family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten. She got it from Lilo and Stitch, very important. And that's on her classroom wall. And it's stated each time the students have to select partners or work in a group. That's a great motto to live by. Nobody gets left behind in Mrs. Sarah's classroom. Congratulations, Mary Ann.
Oh.
I have a certificate for you. Congratulations. Moving on. Sorry about that. I'd like to reintroduce Ms. Heather Bailey. Heather, congratulations. Okay. Heather's in her 20th year of education, 17 here at Holmdel School. She's a PE and health teacher in the district, also a coach at both the middle and high school levels in soccer and basketball. Likewise, all these many years, very hard to pick just one memory for Heather. She does want to state, though, that it's been lucky for her to have this opportunity to teach with great students and to work with great educators. And her personal motto is never say never, because limits, like fears, are often just illusions. And that comes from Michael Jordan. So there you go. So congratulations, Heather. Like to acknowledge Dr. Christy Rizzo. Dr. Rizzo, 23 years in education, music teacher most recently here at SATS in the high school, but for many years before that at Village School. She also serves as the musical director of tomorrow night's SATS performance of Rock of Ages. Hope you can all come out tomorrow night and Friday to see the show. She also serves as the social media coordinator for SATS. So she mans the Facebook page, the Instagram page, the Twitter page, the TikTok page, and the website. So we really appreciate all that she does to get out the good word of SATS happenings. Favorite memory that Christy mentions is most recently conducting the SATS bands and working to help students feel comfortable getting back on stage. It's been 2 years since the students performed live. So it's a big achievement just to get back up on the stage, as we saw in the winter shows and looking forward to in the spring shows. Similarly, a live performance like Rock of Ages, which is going to be tomorrow, as we said, one of her favorite teaching experiences so far. She's also had the opportunity in the last year to re-energize the jazz band ensemble here at the school. So we really appreciate that. She loves the musicals and teaching band. And while she didn't list a personal motto, I'll give her one. Don't stop believing. So there you go. Inside joke. Congratulations, Christy. Like also to recognize Carla Villacrest, who's in her 16th year of education as a Spanish teacher here at SAT School, also joining Ms. Acero as co-advisors to the Builders Club and Best Buddies. It was interesting for me to learn that Carla, before coming to Holmdel, has experience teaching from pre-K all the way to college undergrad. That's a pretty extensive repertoire of teaching. You really are talented to be able to do that. Many wonderful classroom memories. Loved middle school students the best, and how could you not? They're just so precious. One particularly rewarding memory is when a high school student came back to visit her, and they do come back very often through the little blue doors right by her classroom to stop in and say hi. And the student wrote a little letter to her, and it went something like this. Once upon a time, there was a new Spanish teacher who joined SATS. She had a student with beautiful long hair who loved going to her class. It was the highlight of that student's day. This was because her teacher taught her not only Spanish, but taught her to be unapologetically herself. The student went on to say, Ms. Villacrest, you taught me so much and always made me feel confident and comfortable in your class. After all, Villa does care, short for Villacrest. Carla picked that memory because it not only is about that student's personal learning experience and growth, but also a reminder that we as educators are more than teachers in a classroom, that our students do turn to us for guidance and support. And for that, Carla is incredibly grateful for the profession that she's chosen. So congratulations. We're lucky to have you, Carla. So thank you very much. Congratulations. I'll turn the microphone over now to Mr. Kokoda.
Thank you, ladies. Good evening, everyone.
My name is Matt Kukoda, and I'm honored to serve as the principal of Holmdel High School. I want to congratulate all of our honorees tonight, our exemplary educators. First representative from Holmdel High School, I think last year's board meeting, we all heard the collective hearts break when she announced her retirement. And certainly Holmdel High School is a little different without her presence. She's a former AP chemistry teacher, honors advanced research teacher, and we loved her so much. I begged and pleaded Ms. Colleen to call her and try and get her back this year. But we hope she's enjoying her retirement, and we certainly miss all the impact that she had on her students. So Dr. Josephine Baja. As a former history teacher myself, I often find myself spending a little more time than usual in Ms. McBride's class, and I know that she doesn't take any offense to it, but her engaging lessons and her passion that she exudes every day is no wonder that which she was honored as an exemplary educator. And in fact, if you had a good angle of her, she was sitting over there grading papers while we were waiting to get going. So sounds about right for Ms. McBride. Congratulations. Thinking about Ms. Picasso, you think about teacher leader. She volunteers for many different projects throughout the district. We've tasked her with a number of challenges that we're looking to work on here as we take our high school to the next level, and she does all those with class and grace. And it's often that she's seen with having extra help, sorry, Ms. King, but maybe more than one or two days a week because her students just can't get enough of her. So future administrator, and she's going to be a great one, exemplary educator, Ms. Julia Picasso. Finally, Senora Taylor. Her impact is far-reaching, and it goes way beyond the classroom. From the impact that she, you could find her at many sporting events, district events, lending a helping hand, and her, as you can see in her picture, her welcoming smile, and you know, the way she carries herself really embodies everything that it means to be a Holmdel High School Hornet, and she's a source of confidence for me, and someone that I aspire to be just like. This is Ms. Kathleen Taylor, or Senora Taylor. Congratulations, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. It's very impressive, the wonderful quality of teachers we have in the district, and it's always a pleasure to acknowledge all of their wonderful work. Okay, for our third presentation, we are having an HIB self-assessment and year-end summary by Ms. Faris.
Good evening again, everyone. Switching gears a little bit, I'm putting on my other hat. My name is Alicia Faris, as I said before, and I'm also the district anti-bullying coordinator. This presentation that we're about to see tonight is the state mandated annual harassment, intimidation, and bullying self-assessment and year-end summary. So basically what we're going to discuss tonight are our HIB grades as a district. The HIB grading system is part of the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act, which was enacted in January of 2011. It's a self-assessment based on a rubric that the state gives the districts, and it's completed by the school safety teams in each school to ensure proper implementation of the law is being carried out.
The school safety team is made up of different stakeholders in each of the schools, including administrators, parents, and teachers. The grades are based on the 2020-2021 school year that we're about to look at. The HIB grades are based on these eight categories. They're graded by HIB programs, approaches, and other initiatives, multiple types of trainings, trainings on the Board of Ed approved HIB policy, but other staff and instructional trainings as well, curriculum and instruction on HIB and related informational skills, HIB personnel, school level HIB incident reporting procedures, HIB investigation procedures, and then the overall HIB reporting that the district carries out. Grades are assigned by a point value. There are 1 to 5 indicators in each core element, and a point value is assigned for each indicator. It goes by a scale of 0 to 3, 0 meaning does not meet the requirements, and 3 meaning exceeds the requirements. We are proud to say that all schools achieved a score of 77 out of 78. This year's grades are consistent with the 5-year trend that we see here. So we've been holding steady at 77. The one area that we did not exceed but met the expectations was in signing off on the training. So we have a lot of contracted service providers, buses, Chartwells, which does our food services, and we don't get that. We don't always have them sign a statement of assurance when we do our trainings. So that is one area that we seek to expand on. So just a little bit more about the mandated presentation that we're doing tonight. Submission is due to the state by January 31st. Each school then, once we receive the grades back from the state, must post the grade on the school and the district homepages. The next slides we're going to look at are the investigations by year. So this was last year's numbers, but this slide shows the chart of a 5-year trend. And you can see that our HIB cases drastically have been reducing, 2020-2021 being the least amount of HIB cases that we've had. This chart looks at our cases from a different point of view. It's the number of cases investigated versus the number of cases confirmed. Village had 0 HIB investigations last year. Indian Hill had 4 with 3 confirmed, and both SATs and the high school had 2 cases with 2 confirmed. And finally, just a little snapshot of our anti-bullying programs. 2 that I would like to highlight would be our new Character Strong program that we're implementing at Indian Hill in the social studies classes, as well as the Hibster software that allows us to track and monitor cases. It's a data storing warehouse, and it also is a great reporting device that lets us look at tons of data analysis for our HIB investigations. So that's the end of the presentation. If anyone has any questions, now I can take some at this time.
Elizabeth, I have a question. So obviously, thanks for the presentation. I know for years, as we've been sitting here, we hear the numbers every year, and the numbers are usually very, very good, and that's obviously a good thing. I mean, a lot of times I question the numbers because, and I, you know, hopefully the public that's listening online and here, this isn't a reflection of, there's still disciplinary actions that happen within the schools every day that if it's not a state report, if it's not reported or if a HIB complaint isn't put forth, it doesn't get listed here. So just so the public is aware, we will not run a crystal clear school. There are problems in just like in every grade in every school. So I just wanted to make that known. And the numbers are drastically lower because we had COVID and we didn't have school last year. Right. So that should be a very, very big thing to bring up. I mean, obviously those numbers are going to go back up this year for sure. Just because kids have been home for a year and a half, whatever mm-hmm. it is. But I think it's good, but I just think not to be fooled. We definitely, there are problems out there and there, you know, it needs consistent, we just talked about it in our executive committee before that we just can continually letting these kids know, especially your middle-aged kids, because that's where it seems like, and you can see it here, your Indian Hill SATs kids, that's where the kids are getting comfortable, you know, starting to be knuckleheads, as I call them, you know, and then the high school kids are starting, you know, they're sort of past that and a little more mature. But thanks for your presentation.
I think that's why it's great to see that we're being proactive and we're getting, you know, different trainings and programs brought into the schools, like Character Strong, which we're kicking off this year. So really, it'll be great, too, with the use of Hipster to see the trends and the analysis that we have in our HIB data and how we can, you know, make things better for all of our kids.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I would say is just to make sure we have policies. And then we're not following those policies and enacting on those policies, like, so kids don't become repetitive, you know, problems. That's what I think the most important thing is, just so that happens once and it doesn't happen again. And the example or the, you know, people know that this is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. So as long as we follow the policy, it'd be good.
Okay.
I'm sorry. This is really just for questions to the board. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you very much. Our next, let's see, is student representatives report to the board. Rune.
Good evening. I hope everyone is doing well. On Monday, January 24th, our school representative from Jocelyn was on hand to meet with the class of 2022. The purpose of his meeting was to discuss graduation caps and gowns, and a link was sent to all students to order caps and gowns for graduation. Training was unable to attend today, so I'll read the report from the junior class. Junior prom contracts and payments are due as soon as possible to Chef Harkness in room 303B. Juniors should check their emails for the form, and the 10% discount ends on February 14th. Thank you, and that concludes the student report.
Thank you so much, Rune. The next item on the agenda is the acting superintendent's report to the board.
Good evening. First, I just would like to thank the board for to fill this acting role, even though I've only been in since January. It feels like I've been here since June. but everybody has been exceptionally helpful and kind, and I do really appreciate that. I also want to thank all the teachers who reached out to me once I got this boost up, and also to the parents. Everybody has been very, very supportive, and I'm really appreciative of it. You know, 17 years in this district and still never amazes me like the kindness of people here in this town. So for my report, just tell a little bit about what's going on in the schools. Village School on the 14th, during February 14th, during PE classes are scheduled to participate in a Kids Heart Challenge. It's a program that's sponsored by the American Heart Association. Their goal is to raise $30,000, and to date, they've actually collectively raised over $20,000 towards that goal. And one student, Ms. Vitale, told me, raised over $4,000 by herself. So kudos to Village and what they're doing for the Heart Challenge. We'll have a virtual presentation on Friday, January 28th, by the New Jersey Safe Routes to School program for the New Jersey Department of Education. And because of this, Eden Hill will be receiving a bronze award. And SATS, like Mr. Logan said, the Drama Club is going to be performing The Rock of Ages on Thursday, January 27th, and Friday the 28th at 7 p.m. in the high school auditorium. Hope to see everyone there. And in the high school, congratulations to the boys swim team, who finished in second place in the Monmouth County Championships on Saturday, January 22nd. Also, last Friday, Honda High School hosted its 19th annual pizza contest to benefit the Jack Dowd Memorial Scholarship Fund. And yesterday, the winter dance concert took place in the complex auditorium. And speaking of the 19th annual pizza contest, Mr. Dowd asked me to read something for him because he wasn't able to be here tonight. So I'm going to read it verbatim. I wanted to take the moment this evening to address the board, the school district, and the community. I had planned on being here in person this evening, but for reasons that I'll explain, I could not make it. So I've asked Mr. Howard, our current acting superintendent, my former principal, and outstanding boss. I didn't make him write that. And more importantly, longtime friend and confidant, to share my thoughts with all in attendance this evening. So this past Friday night at the high school was the 19th annual pizza contest finale, organized by Chef Harkness and his culinary arts students. So we managed to do our first big event in January of 2020, and it was a success. Though very few people showed up, we had a great time competing and celebrating the students and their creative pizzas. The money we raised was graciously donated by Chef Harkness to my son Jack's Memorial Scholarship Fund, which awards a number of seniors each year with $1,000 to start them off in college for exemplifying Jack's spirit, personality, and overall academics and sportsmanship. And Chef graciously offered to donate all proceeds to the scholarship fund again. The lead up to our second live in-person event was going quite well until Chef Harkness found out Friday morning that his father had sadly passed away and he had to leave abruptly. Before he did, he insisted that the show go on without him. And through his tears, in his own words, "This is Wendell, let's get it done." Since I was hosting and producing this event, I needed to scramble to make sure everything was ready to go, from the food to the tickets, to the students competing, to the technical aspects, to judges. Well, you get the idea. I was confident, but I was still worried that I would need help pulling it off. And this is where I get to the main reason I asked Mr. Howard to share my words tonight with all listening. It took a single request for help, and everyone stepped up. From the front office staff to the teaching staff, from the community to my friends and neighbors, every single person dropped what they were doing to make this event a reality and make sure it was a success, both for Chef Harkness and his students, as well for all the possible contributions to the Jack Dowd Memorial Scholarship Fund. Those who knew me knew I have an affinity for It's a Wonderful Life. So it's not much of a stretch to say that it felt that I felt exactly like George Bailey in that moment, saying that everyone dropped everything to pitch in. And for that, I am truly humble and grateful. My son, Jack Bailey Clarence Dowd, would have been 21 years old today. I took a personal day because it has all been very overwhelming this week, which is why I am not here in person tonight to speak to you myself. Every day that goes by for me and my family is a day of hopelessness as a result of his loss. And every day we fight to find his loss and to find ways to make his life matter. As I said over 4 years ago at his memorial, we need to look for some sense of hope every single day to keep us going. Well, we found that hope on Friday, and it once again restores our faith in humanity, in this community, and in the extended family we have come to love and appreciate here in Homedale. We only wish we could find a way to someday return it in kind. Until that day, please do not hesitate to ask if you ever need anything from me or my family so we can continue to spread the same hope, strength, and joy that you have blessed us with. Thank you. That's from Mr. Dow. That concludes the report I have tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Howard. And please thank Mr. Dowd for his very moving message. It was very touching. Okay. The next items on the agenda are committee reports. Let's start with curriculum instruction.
Actually, there's the harassment intimidation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, thank you.
And don't we do attendance still, or do we not report out student enrollment anymore? We used to. I don't know if that's... I don't know.
Morris has 705, Indian Hills 671, Sats 528, Florida High School 955 for a total of 2949. Pete tried to catch me out there. Thought I wouldn't have that, but I got it.
Thanks, Mr. Howard. Thank you for pointing out that I did not ask for HIB. So what's the HIB status, Mr. Howard?
So just for clarification, these are the numbers are stretched back to the end of September. So Indian has five, all unfounded. Where Sats had five, four founded, one unfounded. Honda High School had two, one founded, and Village had none.
Okay, thank you. Now it's committee reports for curriculum instruction. Mr. Reddy.
All right. Since I know I'll have the longest report, I'll try to be somewhat brief or as quick as we can. The CNI committee met on Wednesday, January 19th at 6:30. A whole number of topics were discussed, starting with superintendent recommendations for approval, which is on tonight's agenda. First one was regarding approval of out-of-district travel. out-of-district travel district personnel, list of 26 teachers attending various conferences and professional development opportunities for district staff and teachers. Note, most are still virtual at this time. Hopefully, eventually that loosens up and the teachers can do their thing in person. Second item was the approval of a Stockton University and Holmdel High School dual enrollment program. Dual enrollment program allows students to take courses at Stockton University, $100 a credit, which I know for some of you parents that have college students, that's a heck of a lot cheaper than a regular credit in most colleges. Can take in person or the district is looking into getting teachers certified to teach Stockton classes, similar to Rutgers and Brookdale College classes. Discussion was had about taking classes in the summer as an option, and expanding dual enrollment program to appeal to students drawn to the magnet schools will definitely help maybe keep some of the schools in here. More to come in the future months. More details on that we'll find out in the spring when we find out how many kids are actually enrolling in it. What we do know now is there's a course called Engineering Capstone Class, which has 12 students presently taught by Mr. Petricola. This is available to those kids. I think 5 students signed up for it so far. And they're also planning to do it in an advanced studio TV class taught by Mr. D. DeVellis. And I think that's they have a target of 15 to 18 kids. So, you know, good opportunity for the students in the high school. Also on there, number 3 was a new course proposal, Honors Robotics 2 track. So a teacher and supervisor work to differentiate an honors level class. If you remember, a couple of years ago, we started a robotics level 1 class. And now it's just growing, and obviously there must be some strong interest out there. And in this class, the upperclassmen would show leadership by teaching as teacher leaders. Now the kids can basically take 5 years of robotics because the program actually starts in SATs. Focus on developing solid engineering program. Amazing growth here, an opportunity for Holmdel students, and it's another step that the district's taking to, you know, stem the amount of kids moving to the different magnet schools and things like that. Just another offering that the district can give. Approval of monetary donation from the Jersey Shore Chinese School, $2,500 donated toward copying costs for supplemental material for students. There's a memorandum of understanding between fiscal agent and member districts. It's a periodic approval MOU of Title III program for ESL. We do it every 3 years. District can get up to $10,000 for structure and support of ESL. Approval of submission of bilingual ESL 3-year program plan for the school years 2020 to 2023. This is another one of those things that every few years we have to update. A 3-year plan is required for submission to the DOE on how we address our ELL program. Within special services, on the board agenda is a list of homeschool students. Approval of student placements, list of students off-site placement, approval of assisted technology consultant. The district's hiring a technology for education and communication consulting incorporated as a tech consultant for support devices. This individual will be able to come to IEP meetings to explain, report, recommend, and effectiveness of different courses. There's numerous evaluations being offered. That's within the notes. There's an approval of transportation agreement and general release for a special ed student and family, approval of consultant for professional development. Diane Jansen, an outside consultant to attend the Holmdel February professional development day to train staff on instruction, intervention strategies, accommodations, and modifications. Classroom setting would focus on IEP writing and utilizing present levels of academic and functional performance. That'll be during the professional development day. Then under new business, we reviewed a new novice Spanish course. Additional data is needed to be provided to the state. So in the next couple of meetings, we'll be talking about that. The second one is a learning center update. The committee was provided with information on math and ELA learning centers that will begin the start of the third marking period for Holmdel High School. During study hall, math and English teachers will be available to assist students in a variety of areas. This new program, which is being funded by ARP ESSER funds, is being provided to help counter the major learning losses a number of students have seen during the past 18 months, coinciding during the COVID pandemic. 150 math and 53 ELA students have been identified through our testing protocols and marking period averages as in need of help. So that's a pretty big number. It's actually a very much bigger number than we used to have. They will be assigned to these learning centers. When their grades achieve a 78 average, they can remand back to the study hall environment. So basically, it's an opportunity the district's given to kids that are struggling right now. Media center position in SATS. Starting February 1st, the teacher with library certification will be placed in the position of media center technology. He will push into ELA and social studies courses initially and provide materials for students that are typically relevant. SATS is without these services at the present time, hence that's why we're doing it now. Virtual teachers are approved for virtual teaching if they are quarantined. They have to be negative for COVID. This will close the gap of 5-day missed instruction. Program of studies, the new program of studies book is coming out. The committee discussed the program of studies for 2022 and 2023. I believe there's a little further. District accomplishments, a list of district accomplishments were shared with the committee, from the reopening plan to expanded pre-K to revisiting elementary to revising elementary day schedules to add 48 to 50 minutes of increased instructional time. Credit to Dr. Charney and the administration. I think there was about 40 to 50 items in it that they've been doing, which is pretty wonderful to see, because a lot of times you don't see what's happening within a district or what's getting done. Extended behavioral services for Rutgers using ESSER-2 and ARP funds. The district would like to expand behavioral services to the elementary schools. The principals have informed us that students seeking counselor help at Indian Hill I and our IRS evaluations has increased. So the need is there. The start strong disaggregated data to be discussed further in our February committee and board meeting. I think most of the parents should have gotten the Start Strong letters at home. I know I did for at least my freshman. Guidance, the guidance schedule committee reviewed a guidance department schedule that goes from February through the end of the summer, includes creating course schedules, meeting students, to looking at waivers, to option 2 evaluations, just a whole bunch of things to make sure the guidance is doing what we expect them to be doing for the students of this district. So thanks to Mr. Kokoda for helping me make that happen. New course schedule, new course proposal from restructuring of acting classes. The committee reviewed proposals of restructuring acting 1 and acting 2 into acting 1, acting 2, and honors acting 3. Seems like Dr. DeVivo has done an outstanding job with this program, as student demand is continually outpacing the available seats. The restructuring allows for a more organized layout of the 3 acting classes. Last couple of things, AP Physics. There was a proposal to divide the AP Physics class into AP Mechanics and AP Electricity and Magnetism classes. I can tell you these are classes I never took. Currently, both classes are all combined into a course called AP Physics C. The idea would be to split them so that the kids can actually take a separate test in each, because the evaluation was that the kids were struggling because we were not getting to teach everything that was needed within the classes. And back to the course study book, the committee reviewed a list of course names that are being recommended to be changed so it is clear what the course is. 16 new course titles were added. Highlights of this is, for some of these new classes, 10-point bump for students dropping the honors level class to a CP by midpoint of the first marking period. We're seeing increased credit for GPA for students taking AP classes. And then we're adding an honors track for acting 3 and robotics 2, as we discussed. The last two items were the Seal of Biliteracy. This program from the state provides a dual diploma, one for high school graduation and one for attaining proficiency, measured through a language test in 2 languages. Last year, 33 students were awarded this by Seal. This year, 104 have applied to take the test. So obviously the word's getting out, pretty popular. And the last item was the AP Computer Science Female Diversity Award. Homedale High School was one of 1,000 schools around the country in the U.S. awarded the AP Computer Science Female Diversity Award. Homedale is the only public school in New Jersey to achieve such an award, and one of 5 within the state, the other four being private, to attain this honor. We continue to see a large number of females taking STEM courses, and obviously in the award here. So congratulations to those people. And the next meeting is February 16th, time to be determined. Questions?
Pete, if I could just highlight one item on that, that huge list that you had. And I think it's worth highlighting. About 14 years ago, my oldest son took the one acting class that we had in this district. We only had one. And it was a revelation. For him, it helped get him out of his shell. It got him actively involved with other kids. It helped his social skills. It was really revolutionary, the impact. So much so that we had to petition the school district to let him take the class again, because there was no acting two class. I think one of the most dramatic aspects of improvement within our curriculum in the 12 years that I've been on the school district has been the arts program. When I first came on board in the school district, one of the discussion points that you heard from many school districts around the country is cutting back on arts because they didn't have enough money. And this particular district has doubled down on arts, whether it's the art acting program that Pete just mentioned, the introduction of dance, music, the traditional art program where you're painting and sculpture and et cetera. This is one of the hallmarks of this district. It's not just simply academics, but the ability to provide a well-rounded education. One of the heroes of this is the guy that's right over here on my left. He's been able to find a way to find the money so we can continue having a very robust arts program. But I would also compliment the many people that I've worked with on this board who have been staunch supporters of our arts program and to ensure that we provide our children with the very best. So it's wonderful to hear that we even now have an honors acting class. And I'm sure that if we were to turn back the clock, one of the first people who would have signed up for that would be my son. So thank you very much, Pete.
Well, Mike, I think if you remember years ago as we sat here, you know, it was all talk about STEM and everything was STEM, which is great and what it still is. But then there was conversations of calling it STEAM, right? You know, adding the A. And I think this district's done a very good job of, you know, it was an identified gap. And I think the gap's been definitely filled and actually overflowing. So, you know, credit to the administration and teachers for making that happen.
Hey, Pete, last month I was asking for the CNI committee to look into the changes to the health curriculum. Is that going to be added to the agenda for next meeting?
It absolutely is, Mr. Harris. Thank you for pointing that out because we did not touch on that.
And then the other thing I wanted to ask about was the guidance curriculum or the guidance. Oftentimes other school districts have a very robust career development plan with their students. And I know oftentimes they're actually doing their essays as they're built, as they're writing their essays for their college applications as part of that. Has that been looked at as part of the guidance, you know, at least getting the kids to start writing those things or having them reviewed? Because it's one of those last minute things that they could be doing as part of the guidance process.
I remember, you know, as a board, we've talked about that over years, because I know, like, as my kids, you know, come through the high school, even beyond that, I think every year, you know the essay is coming. And I think, I know, as you remember, a couple of years ago, we are, you know, offered the SAT course, and I understand a number of kids take it, you know, covering math and English, whatever, and obviously, you know, they got to keep tweaking it. But in my mind, I'm always thinking, okay, why are we not offering that in end of sophomore year or end of junior year? You know, it's going to come. I mean, if anything, it'd be a graded assignment. 99 or 98% of these kids go to colleges, so you know the great majority of the 2,949 kids, they're going to be writing an essay most likely at some point in time. So I think it's a no-brainer. So I'll put on a note that we do it. And I don't think it should be that heavy of a lift to find out a way to get it into the, you know, into the curriculum, or at least.
I'll just say that my son who graduated, they did it in English class. It was part of, yeah. It was an English grade.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Pete. I always appreciate detailed notes, as you know. Linda, can you please present the community relations report?
Sure. The community relations meetings met on Tuesday, January 18th, 2022 at 5 p.m. The attendees are Joe Homer, Dr. Jurika Kohler, myself, and P. Reddy, Dr. Scott Cascon, and Art Howard. Terrence Wall was absent. So the items we discussed in the meetings focused on three items. First, we discussed about how do we increase school district communication efficiency. So to achieve this, the acting superintendent office will work on setting up the social media channels and post school news and updates and monitoring the feedbacks. So the second item we discussed is how onboarding the new superintendent help our communities to know our school district leaders better, like such as tonight, you know, the video recordings and regular reports and news. The third item that we discussed is how do we find a better way to engage our hometown communities at large, such, you know, different groups and parents groups and townships, etc. So the next meeting will be on Tuesday, February 15 at 5:30 p.m.
If there's no questions, then we're going on to Mike for a labor report.
Thank you, Madam President. So the Labor and Negotiations and Personnel Committee met on January 19th. And these were some of the items that we conducted as our business. First of all, it's always the computer will always go out just as you're about to talk, right? That's the whole process. There are items on tonight's agenda that the committee recommends. They're items 24 through 41. These items include funding for HR consulting services through the end of the year if needed, funding for staffing of our high school learning centers that are targeting the learning loss that has been identified in algebra and geometry due to the pandemic, and proposed increases in the substitute pay scale. The committee also discussed strategies to fill current administrative vacancies in human resources and special services. And the committee also discussed initial steps for pursuing contract negotiations with the HTEA and the HTAA in the current calendar year. And that is your notes. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mike. Eileen, can you please give us the notes on budget and finance?
Sure. Budget and finance met on January 20th at 6:30. The first item that we talked about was the multi-purpose field, which is agenda items 44 and 45. There are two resolutions on the agenda involving the installation of the multi-purpose turf fields near SATS. We are also appointing Suburban Consultant for some engineering support. And finally, we're approving to enter into a national co-op pricing agreement to realize some potential savings. We next talked about some contracted services, which is agenda item 43. We are approving the landscaping and waste removal services recommended. We talked about the 2020-2021 annual comprehensive financial report. The administration is working with the district auditors, PKF O'Connors Davies, to complete the 2021 financial report to ensure compliance with the submission deadline. PKF O'Connor Davies will be at February's committee meeting to provide an update regarding this matter. We also discussed the 22-23 budget. The committee discussed the budget procedures, the calendars, timelines, and the board members are definitely encouraged to contact the business office if they have any questions. The last thing we discussed is item 46 on tonight's agenda, chapter 192-183, additional funding. Additional non-public school funding for 192/193 services was discussed and will be included on tonight's agenda for approval. And then our next meeting will be February 17th at 6:30. Anybody have any questions?
Thank you so much, Eileen. And last but not least, Joe, with the buildings and grounds.
So the BG&S committee met on January 20th. We discussed some of the similar items that Eileen just covered with respect to the multi-purpose field and the renewal of some contracted services. So I'm not going to repeat those here. However, we did have a transportation update from Laura Carducci, who indicated that we've been able to overcome many of the issues with bus driver shortages which other districts have not been able to overcome because of a lot of the great relationships that she's established with the busing and the district has done with our busing contractors, which when we proactively work with them during COVID is actually paying off. So we didn't have any driver shortages, but there was a lot of work and a lot of issues that happened with those driver shortages that she overcame. Along with some great support that she mentioned, specifically from Jeff Reynes and Paula Riccio, who have been doing a tremendous job with the bus issues that have arisen. We have had some issues with on the bus with children not sitting in their seats, wearing seatbelts, and being disruptive, et cetera. These are being dealt with swiftly and appropriate actions being taken, such as reviewing bus driver incident reports, reviewing camera footage, alerting billing principals, riding the bus, boarding the bus at the arrival and dismissals, and reinforcing safety rules. Laura and Paula communicated with the Village School bus drivers frequently to offer support and provide feedback to the bus contractors, bus monitors, and the building principals. They're constantly in communication with them. She also speaks with the bus contractors daily and rides the bus as needed. The district implemented a peaceful bus program to create good behavior on the buses. We had a two-day event in the summer to get kids acclimated to the bus, and which was well attended by children and parents, to teach them proper bus safety and behavior. And we also discussed, you know, the cost of having school bus aides in all the elementary schools, which would be 18 Village Runs and 17 Indian Hill Runs, which was approximately $380,000 per year, which we deemed very expensive. However, we're looking into having one bus aide or monitor to reinforce some of the desired behavior of the peaceful bus program to be able to ride some of those buses as needed or as required for some of the buses that may need it or may need reinforcement. We also discussed non-monetary aids. There's two non-monetary donations from Village PSA and High School PTSO, which were recommended for acceptance on the agenda. The next date and time of our meeting is February 17th at 5 p.m. Any questions?
Thanks so much, Joe. The next item on our agenda is questions or comments from the public on action items only. Action items are things that are on the agenda. Seeing none, I'm going to call a motion for action items 1 through 16, 20 to 51. I want to modify item number 27. Let me read the modification for you. Resolve, or it's approval of a consulting services for human resources district. Resolve that the board approve for an amount not to exceed $51,000 in support of consulting services from Jackie Palmer for human resources, effective January 27th, 2022 through June 30th, 2022. I also have additional items 50 to 55. Item 52 is approval of full-time lease leave agreement. Item 53 is approval of leave of absence. Item 54, approval of appointment, temporary leave replacement art teacher, Village School. Number 55, approval of changes in locations, assignments, and hours. Do I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Discussion?
I just want to add that since it wasn't on the agenda at the time that I was providing notes from the Labor and Negotiations and Personnel Committee, but I would like to point out that the items number 52 was also discussed in committee and agreed upon.
Okay, any other discussion? Seeing none, can I have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, abstaining to 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Mrs. Bramante.
I'm a yes to all. Except 52, I'm a no, and then 53, 54, and 55, I'm abstaining from.
Well,
I'm a yes on all items except for 52 as well. That was not the original agreement, so I am a no on number 52 and a no on number 27. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Tosillo.
Yes. I abstain on number 52.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you.
Okay. Pete, would you read item number 17?
Sure. Acceptance of monetary donation from the Jersey Shore Chinese School. Resolved that the board accept with gratitude monetary donation from the Jersey Shore Chinese School in the amount of $2,500 to the William R. Satt School to purchase Xerox paper for the school years of 2021-22 and 2022-23, as well as PPE or any other school needs.
Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Any discussion? Can I have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes, thank you, and Happy New Year.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, thank you.
Mrs. Brunati.
Yes, thank you so much.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, thank you, and look forward to participating on February 5th as well at your event. Thank you.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, thank you very much.
Dr. Kaur.
Yes.
Mrs. Tosillo.
Yes, thank you.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Arlene, can you please read item number 18?
18, acceptance of non-monetary donation from the Village School PSA. Resolved that the board accept with gratitude a non-monetary donation from the Village School PSA, value not to exceed $25,000 for an electric signboard for Village School.
Can I have a motion, please?
Move.
Second.
Any discussion?
So after this, all four schools will have electronic signs. Does that sound about right? That's good.
Okay, roll call, please.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, and thank you very much.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes.
Mr. Sokol.
Electrifying, yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, thank you.
Mrs. Brimonti.
Yes, thank you so much.
Mr. Wall.
Thank you very much, yes.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, thank you so much.
Dr. Kohler.
Yes, and thank you.
Mrs. Tosillo.
Yes, thank you.
Motion passes, thank you.
Kimberly, could you please read item number 19?
That the board accept with gratitude a non-monetary donation from the Homedale High School PTSO, estimated at $1,800 for furnishing in the Homedale High School Wellness Room.
Can I have a motion, please?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, and thank you very much.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, thank you.
Mrs. Brimonti.
Yes, thanks.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, thank you very much.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, thank you.
Dr. Kaur.
Yes, thank you.
Mrs. Tosillo.
Yes, thank you.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're opening old and new business. Is there any old business from the board? Any new business?
Yeah.
Okay, Eileen.
I just want to, you know, announce that the Jersey Shore Chinese School has invited all of us board members to their virtual celebration, which is on February 5th. So it's usually an amazing celebration with great performances. So I recommend everyone, if they have some time, to definitely tune into that.
Where is it this year? Is it here at the high school? Virtual. Ah.
Great. Great. Thank you so much, Eileen. Now we're opening up to any other new business? Okay. Now we're opening up to questions or comments from the public. Given that there's such a large number of people, I'd really like you to be respectful and keep your comments somewhat brief, just so everyone has a chance to be heard who wants to be heard. Please come up, state your name, your address, and if you're affiliated with any group. Thank you.
Good evening. I am Terry Ferguson of 4 Richards Way in Holmdel. I am the mother of a senior Holmdel High School girls varsity basketball player. I'm speaking tonight on behalf of the Calhouns, the Cannons, the Chizowiches, DeSicos, Fergusons, Giamancos, Guanawardanas, Lacopolises, Martinis, Rubanos, Saporitos, Steels, Stalkers, Tevens, Nolans, and Fontanas. We are all dismayed by recent events and wish to publicly convey our support for Coach Darren Ault, coach of the girls' varsity basketball team, who has not been on our sidelines lately. Throughout this, the varsity team members have been unwavering in their support for Coach. Many of us have been with Coach Ault for 4 years now and know firsthand of his dedication to our girls. He has put in a tremendous amount of time and effort into training our girls, preparing them for games, and sharing a few life lessons along the way. He has been respectful and professional at all times and has supported each and every player, motivating the girls with encouragement. He has created a culture of positivity whereby the girls sincerely support one another. The team chemistry has been a pleasure to witness. In summary, we unequivocally support Coach Ault, and I'd like to see his name and reputation restored, not only as a coach, but as a man of outstanding character within our community. Sincerely, the aforementioned families.
Thank you very much for sharing.
Hi, my name is Sego Martini. I reside in 133 Mendham Court in Holmdel. And my daughter is one of the seniors on the Holmdel High School girls basketball team. First off, I'd like to quickly thank Mr. Kokoda, Ms. Bailey, and Coach Brittany for stepping in and helping the girls cope with this difficult situation. Seeing familiar faces standing by the girls provided comfort and sense of stability. Their quick actions and effort to help the team has been amazing. For that, we are truly grateful. The girls has been distracted by recent events and are trying to remain focused on their academics while continuing to prepare for upcoming games. As such, I will read their statement in support of Coach Ault and the coaching staff. Dear Holmdel Board of Education, on behalf of the following members of the Holmdel High School girls basketball team, Catherine Martini, Abby Ferguson, Mia Giamenko, Olivia Calhoun, Luna Ramos, Kristen Palmer, Alexandra Lacopolis, Erica Stroker, Maggie LaMountain, Allison Cannon, Julia Saporito, Elisa Ganatwardnana, Jamie DeSico, Ava Rubano, Grace Kobasowski, Mackenzie Teven, Julia Chiswick, and Michelle Steele. We'd like to express our support for Coach Ault as well as the rest of the coaching staff. Our safety and comfort with Coach Ault was never questioned, as he always treated us with respect. His love and passion for the game shined through in everything he did for us. He treated us like family and was a person that our team looked up to. We hope that our undeniable support will help to move this process to closure and restore the reputation of a good man, coach, and mentor. Sincerely, members of the Holmdel High School girls basketball team.
Thank you very much.
Sorry. In addition to this statement, the seniors of the team has expressed their wish to have Coach Ault, Coach Nick, Coach Gigi, and Coach Bob, aka Pops, at the senior night. These girls have played under Coach Ault for the past 4 years, and not having him at the senior night because of this nonsense accusation is simply cruel. They should be able to talk, take pictures, and celebrate the memories they created together. We are not sure how long this case will take, but hopefully the girls will be able to share the senior night with Coach Alt and the rest of the coaching staff. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your comments. Please state your name, address, and any pertinent group you belong to.
Thanks. My name is Colin Cunningham. I live at 8 Canyon Woods Court here in Homedale. I'm representing my family. My wife, Fiona Koldovos, is here with me. So my main goal here is to kind of move along the transparency and the cooperation of all of you and all of us and the people who aren't here. So I have five questions on three topics. I'll be brief. Number one, there's evidently a new sex ed curriculum coming out starting at a pretty young age. What is the process through which parents can opt out or review and then opt out, should that be the conclusion of our review of this new curriculum? Next three questions are all about the ESSER funds, ESSER III COVID dollars that came to us with some stipulations and some strings attached to that. Number one, when do those strings, those stipulations expire? Number two, prior to that expiry, can we refund funds and, you know, remove ourselves from the constraints that they provide to us? And lastly, we weren't given, as a community of stakeholders, parents, citizens of Homedale, we weren't given input onto the acceptance of these funds. Other districts were. Why is that? Will that change in the future? And finally, Governor's Executive Order 251, which is the emergency powers, I think he just had it extended, that's set to expire. Upon expiration, will masks be optional for students? And what's our specific plan as a school board when they do expire? You know, beyond just the masks, anything else they apply to, are we going to have policies? Is that all planned? That's it. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate all your questions. As you know, it's not a question and answer session. It's a public comment session, but it's definitely things we take under advisement together as a board. So I appreciate it. Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, my name is, My name is Shane Strait. I've been a resident in Homedale for almost 10 years. First thing I just wanted to say is I really love Homedale. I didn't know much about Homedale when I came here. I was told that it has one of the best school districts, not only in the state, but in the country. My experience is that's been mostly true. My experience has been great. I have a 15-year-old who's in 10th grade, and I have a 5-year-old who's in kindergarten. My concern is about masks. I didn't know much about this whole thing when it started, so I've sought to educate myself a little bit. I'm an accountant. I've worked in the chemical industry for about 10 years. One of the things we do is industrial products. It's a research lab where I work in a secure building. I've had the chance to interact with scientists, doctors, do research every day. Industrial products specifically to eliminate germs. Some of the things I've found out is that the COVID particle is between 1 and 5 microns in size. The gaps or distances in a cloth or a paper mask is anywhere between 10 and 100 microns in size. So the analogy I was given is that if you are running from a swarm of bees, don't hide behind a chain link fence. So I'm worried about my 5-year-old. I don't want him to be masked. I've seen the kinds of problems that this has caused, and I hope we pursue a sensible policy. And thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
I know you guys know me.
but I'll reintroduce myself. Good evening. I'm Janelle Michella, 2 Apple Grove Drive. Been a resident of Homedale for over 30 years. I come here today in peace to bring awareness to the board and public and ultimately gain resolution. What you've been handed, this is a notice, and I will explain that will explain to you why you have absolutely zero power to infringe upon the rights of the people, and is your duty to look deeper into these issues. As Board of Ed members, you took an oath of office in accordance with New Jersey state law. Here you swore to support the U.S. and state constitution and pledged your faith and allegiance to the same, established under the authority of the people. Government officials are here to protect the individual rights of people and have no authority to act outside of the constitutional purpose for their creation. In accordance with New Jersey state constitution, Article 1, Sections 1, 2, and 5, all persons are by nature free and independent and have certain natural and unalienable rights. All political power is inherent in the people. No person shall be denied the enjoyment of any civil or military right, nor be discriminated against in the exercise of any civil or military right. Article 4, Section 7, the legislature shall not pass any private, special, or local laws. It is not lawful for any official, the governor, to tell an educational institution, you, that it can reject people, us, for not allowing the limitations of their rights. Furthermore, the New Jersey Constitution, which gives institutions the power to exist, prohibits it. Board members, the governor has you captive, and he may have the authority over you, but you do not have authority over we, the people. The people have a right to raise their children and deal with health in the private realm. The right to an education is considered an activity by which one may not be restricted. Precedence for this has been established in Miranda versus Arizona. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. Under Title 18, Section 241 and 242, it is a crime to willfully deprive a person of a right or privilege protected by the Constitution. Under these titles, those in violation can be fined and or face prison terms of up to a year, up to 10 years for bodily harm, and God forbid death is the result, violators can face up to life in prison. This should have HIV, mask rash, mental and emotional health, and suicidal ideation swirling in your heads. There are multiple laws, codes, and statutes which this district and board can potentially be in violation of and damages sought for. As a reminder, the board, according to New Jersey administrative codes, in order to hold public office, each member must be insured. I'm no expert, but I imagine it's hard to keep coverage if claims are being made against you. Please note, no one has immunity when it comes to neglect. I say this not as a threat, but for your own awareness. It has come to my attention that Homedale received over $2.2 million in ESSER funding. ESSER funds, which include Department of Health recommendations, such as promoting the vaccination for children, vax transparency, and vax education in our classrooms. It also includes masking, on-site COVID testing, as well as vax-only extracurricular activities, such as chess, soccer, baseball, theater. These recommendations are discriminatory and a breach of our medical confidentiality. The ESSER funds also require specific percentages to be allocated for social-emotional learning, which we all know is code for CRT. The reopening plan submitted by the district in order to receive these funds acknowledges the social and emotional toll masking has on our children, yet you still take the money and impose these unlawful rules. I am asking you here tonight, what strings are attached to those funds? It seems as though those funds come with the enforcement of what I would consider child abuse and neglect for medical and bodily autonomy. As one of the people whose constitutional rights have been violated, these are my demands for remedy. Cease and desist all requirements for students and employees to unwillingly participate in masking, quarantining, COVID testing, vaccinations, plexiglass, and social distancing. Instead, make this optional. Everyone should have a choice. My second demand is to return any and all ESSER funding. This board is urged to take vote on these remedies prior to the conclusion of tonight's meeting, but will be given until 12 noon on Friday, January 28th, to send out official memorandum in regards to these. May I remind you, three of your seats are up this year. I think I'll run. I will show our children that not all superheroes wear capes. Some of us wear sweatpants, have messy hair in the morning, cook them breakfast, and sometimes we come to a board meeting wearing stilettos.
Thank you very much.
Barbara Singer, 5 Deerfield Road. I'd like to thank Mr. Reddy for his realistic comment after the HIB report, because I was getting a little heated back there thinking we kind of all know through word of mouth, you know, what goes on. So that is the kind of transparency parents are looking for when we hear reports coming out from here. I did have a question. I know you said this isn't a question, but it says on here it's questions or comments. So I was holding my questions till this portion.
According to the lawyers advised me, since this is my first meeting, it's not a question and answer. You can ask a question so that we hear it and we can take that into consideration.
Okay. So this question I have as president of the high school PTSO. I know there's a bus cancellation today for track and field, and that's been an ongoing thing. I'd like to know what other options the board is looking at to handle these last minute cancellations. Those kids had to go down to Toms River, and that's certainly an undertaking for parents to suddenly be able to transport their kids. So we would like to know a little more what other options you're looking into to handle the situation that is not your fault. I did also want to know what item 52 was that was added. I believe from what you said, it was a lease, but it wasn't very specific.
Approval of full-time release leave agreement.
Oh, okay. Got that. Not a lease. what else was there? The consulting services, item number 27. That you is going to Jackie Belmar. Is there somewhere where we can get more information on what that is about, the services regarding human resources? That's a big
thing. The lawyer has said you can file an OPRA request
to find out.
If you want to find out, is that okay? I don't really know the exact, so I'm relying on my expert here to tell me what to tell you about that issue.
Okay, so I know for the future, that's a big expense. If we want to know how that money is being expended, we can't just simply email you and say, hey, what is this about? We have to file OPRA requests now.
She finishes her comments. Why don't we just read the resolution?
The resolution says it's the, I don't remember the exact wording, but it says who it is and how much money they're getting paid for the time period. So I'm not sure what else you need to know.
What are they doing?
They're doing the HR. Human resources. Interim human resources.
Oh, it's an interim. Okay. It said something about consulting. So it sounded like a special one-time thing.
It's an interim person until we have Dr. Keskin come in.
Okay. And then finally, as an attorney in the states of New York and New Jersey, I hope this board listens to their legal counsel. Anyone can come up here and cite statutes and point out criminal repercussions for giving your time to this Board of Ed. I don't think that's very fair to read a statute. Any of us can look them up. As your attorneys will tell you, there are years and years of case law interpreting that statute. Those statutes and explaining how they get applied. And I do hope you don't cave under pressure of parents coming up here in stilettos, sneakers, sweats, suits. I've been up here in all of those dresses. I think it's irrelevant to the discussion that we're wearing. But just want to remind you to listen to your attorney, the attorneys higher up, because that is where your legal guidance should come from. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi. Christy O'Connor, 10 Spring Valley Drive. I learned today that one of the school counselors at our middle school uses pronouns in his email signature. Considering he uses the prefix Mr., I don't see why he needs to include pronouns. Biology and proper grammar tell us that a Mr. is referred to as he and him. Is this appropriate for middle school? Is this the culture we want in Holmdel schools? He is a school counselor, which means he most likely deals with our most vulnerable students. Students that are struggling with various issues, including mental health issues. Should we be confusing these students, or any student for that matter, with this gender theory nonsense? And what are his conversations like alone in his office with these students? This ideology does not belong in K-12 public education. There is an agenda going on here, and parents that are not comfortable with this need to start speaking up. Mr. Hammer, I would like to thank you for so boldly speaking up about the health curriculum changes that will be implemented in September of this year. Unfortunately, the board voted to accept this curriculum back in September of 2021. Now I understand this is coming down from the top and the learning standards are very long, and I imagine no one expected the completely inappropriate topics that will be introduced to our young students. But now we see it and we need to stay on top of it or stay ahead of it. Mr. Bansky responded to Mr. Hammer that they would discuss it at the next curriculum meeting. So I would ask, were the latest comprehensive health and physical education standards discussed yet? And if so, did you discuss opt-out options? Also, will these controversial topics be limited to just health class, or will they be incorporated into other classes as well? And I heard Mr. Reddy say, you will meet on it next month. So I hope that happens and we don't just keep pushing it further along. At the October 2021 board meeting, Mr. Sokol mentioned that the Diversity and Inclusion Committee would make a presentation for the public sometime the following month, which would have been November. Did that happen? If not, will it be happening? Should I keep going? Okay. Thank you for removing the plexiglass from the desks and for opening the cafeterias in both Indian Hill and Village School. That is a big step in the right direction. I would especially like to thank Terrence Wall for being so transparent about your position on these COVID measures and for fighting for our kids. It does not go unnoticed, Terrence. Last month, I mentioned Middletown School District's revised policy for in-school close contacts that was effective on December 14th, 2021. Their policy essentially identifies close contacts of a COVID-19 positive individual, asks close contacts to monitor for symptoms, and then quarantining is voluntary. Based on today's weekly COVID update, we currently have 15 students in quarantine at Village School with only one symptomatic and 4 COVID positive. Yes, the numbers are going down, but we still have 10 healthy children in the preschool to third grade group in quarantine. Can Holmdel please adopt this same policy so students do not have to miss more school unnecessarily? Lastly, I am requesting that the superintendent and the board pass a resolution to make masks optional immediately, once, if ever, this executive order ends and the state of emergency expires. Under the Emergency Health Powers Act, the public health emergency will expire after 30 days, unless renewed. The state of emergency was declared on January 11th, so I believe 30 days puts us around February 10th. Now, obviously, we have no idea what our tyrannical governor will do next, but let's be proactive. Should the mask mandate in schools be lifted, let's not make the families of Holmdel wait any longer to make decisions that are best for their own children. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
Madam President, quick, just to respond on the diversity inclusion presentation, I think that got kind of lost because of the transition that took place between superintendents, because we did make a request to have it done. And I know that the administration's been busy and no one's trying to hide anything. So, you know, after tonight's meeting, I'll chat with Art and see when we can have that presentation done. So that presentation on diversity and inclusion update, we'll try to get that up, you know, for next month.
Hi, I'm Jill Perez from 6 Feet Briar Lane. I just am really looking at the past 2 years. And, you know, with the start of the new year and having my kids home over break, the biggest thing that upset me was when I had to put the mask back on them when they went back to school in January 2022. And my kids know that the most beautiful thing that they can wear is a smile. It is so powerful, right? Our children for the last 2 years have not really been able to see one another smile. Their teacher smiled. They've been told to keep their distance. And I just refuse to live in that world. Quite frankly, I've never lived in that world. And I just think right now we really need to be thinking about how this is affecting them. You know, are we going to have this term like COVID kids decades later because of what we've done for the past 2 years? We need to stop being afraid of people. That's really what it boils down to. I'm not afraid of anybody. You know, I mean, if somebody needs a tissue, I'm going to get it for them. I think what's happening right now is we're really forgetting so many of the lessons of the past. And I want to share with you just a passage from a former Holocaust survivor who's still alive and is speaking out about a bunch of things. She's saying right now, when medicine veers away from the Hippocratic Oath that promises to respect the individual right to do no harm to that individual, then you're going to harm the community as well, because the community is a bunch of individuals. It's a bunch of our children. And so there's a crossroads in life where you have to make some choices. And if you don't, someone's going to make the choice for you. And it may not be in your best interest. The idea of just following authority without considering, what if they're wrong? What if it's not in their best interest? I wouldn't want to live under such a regimen. I know what that's like. And I know I would not do it again. And she goes on to say that never again is now. So for 2 years, we've been doing the same thing. And it's really not any better, right? Some schools went virtual for the month of January. So I think we need to start looking at this and understanding what is in our best interest. I mean, me personally, I've actually never even taken a COVID test. You know, I make sure I have my routine. I have a very specific routine. Okay, that's the prevention piece of all of this. And there's many doctors speaking out right now about how important that prevention is, and that a lot of people got sick unnecessarily because they waited at home and they didn't have what they needed. And so we really need to start using our schools as a place where we can think about this and bring people together and not fear one another. And I want to give credit to actually my daughter's fifth grade class, Mr. Bemke, who taught the students about George Washington's farewell speech and how parties divide people. And that's what's happening. We've just created so much division, because really, if we all come together, we really want what's best for our kids. We want our kids to come to school. We want our kids to make their friends and see their friends and smile at their friends and have lunch again with them. That's what we want. And quite frankly, I don't think that we should be preventing that anymore. I think we need to understand that we have to learn to live with this and teach our kids how to be healthy, you know, washing our hands, eating healthy, getting enough sleep, all these things that are really natural. And we also need to be looking at what has happened over the last couple of years that we're so afraid of all of this, right? I'll just kind of reflect a little bit, because I have a great-grandfather that was born in 1902, and the lessons that he taught me were invaluable. He was alive until he was 98 years old. And I'll tell you, he did not run to a pharmacy to be healthy. And so since 1997, the drug companies, pharmaceutical companies, have been allowed to advertise. And it has skewed the way we see things. That money in advertising has controlled our programming. It controls our news. And that's another reason why this is so global, because when you control that, you also have so much money. And it begins to affect us on so many different levels. And right now, I just can't continue to see it affect our children the way it has. And quite frankly, the way it's affected all of us.
My father-in-law is from Cuba, and he had told me that really there's, you know, when it comes to communism, there's three things that they do, right? They censor. They don't want you knowing all this information, and we see that censorship happening. And there's some brave people who are speaking out. And then they try to dehumanize you, right? They take away the weddings and the funerals and the smiles and all those other beautiful things, right? And then that creates this divide and conquer, right? And you divide and conquer, the people aren't so strong. And we know, living in the United States of America, we have a balance of government for a reason. And what's happening right now is the people are divided, and we have other powers at work that are controlling this narrative, and it's affecting all of us. But sadly, it's affecting our children. And I heard someone speak out about how the moms are just getting tired of this. We are. We want our babies to be happy and safe and just continue with their life. You know, we've had germs forever. This isn't, I'm not downplaying this. Please know that I'm not downplaying this. As a matter of fact, I think that people should have gotten medicines that they never, that they weren't able to. Certain pharmacies are not prescribing certain medicines, and that's a crime. And people will pay for this crime. But we need to start understanding how we can move beyond, use our schools to educate in a way that really creates healthy children, a healthy mindset, a healthy body, a healthy spirit. And we need to just kind of move beyond this right now. Because I have to tell you, it breaks my heart every day that I have to hand my child their mask. We shouldn't be doing this anymore. And there's a lot of places that aren't. So I hope that New Jersey begins to wake up and understand that this is just not working. And the last thing I just want to say is that, you know, it was Martin Luther King's day, right? We celebrated Martin Luther King. And he, you know, didn't obey authority, right? So we have to begin to understand that our job is to question authority. That's who we are as Americans, period. And I'm proud of that. And so his quote to honor him, it says, "In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends." So I'm not going to be silent. I am going to speak out for my children and all the children, because I am an educator, and I got into education to make sure that our children always got the best that they could get, and that we can create a better generation. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, seeing no other commenters, I'd like...
Good evening, Robert Way, 7 Cathy Court. I'm okay. There's been discussions before about getting you folks on the record as to where you stand on the mask policy and it being an optional. We've been advised as a public that the board speaks as a board and not as individuals. As everyone here knows, over the past couple of weeks, I've reached out directly to each one of you as individuals to try to get an understanding of what your position is on the issue. Some folks have reached out. I thank them. The majority have not. We live in a representative republic. We vote for you to represent us. We vote for people that align with our beliefs to represent us. I know for a fact there's people on this board that align with my beliefs. I voted for those individuals. I know there's people on this board that do not align with my beliefs. Therefore, I did not vote for those individuals. The very fact that this board will not put forth a resolution and state its position on whether or not the power should be devolved down to the districts and therefore the parents to have discretion over whether or not masks are optional for their children makes this body politic feckless in the eyes of the public, at least in my opinion. It doesn't matter that the issue is divisive, Madam President. You're voted to represent the public and vote on divisive issues. And depending upon the makeup of that body politic and each individual's belief, the votes fall where they may. You put forth a resolution, you vote yes or no. Whichever one gets more wins, and the resolution either stands or it falls. So what I'm here to ask you to do is to put forth two resolutions by the next Board of Education meeting. One, stressing to the governor that it is the opinion of this school district that the power to make policy regarding COVID be devolved to the school district. Second, a resolution put forth that once and if that power is devolved back down to the district, that it is at the parents' discretion what protocols they choose to implement for their children. Thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anthony. Got my height adjustment on there. Debbie Brew, 15 Cindy Lane. I just have a couple things. First and foremost, I really want to thank everyone, especially you, for removing the plexiglass. I think that, or whatever it was, from the dollar store that supposedly protected everyone. I think the staff and the students and the parents are all overwhelmingly happy with this, so thank you. Secondly, I just wanted to, I'm a little bit concerned about the questions and comments from the public portion. I realize it's your first meeting, so I'm hoping that will be reconsidered. As most people know, because I repeatedly say it all the time, I have been attending these meetings for over 9 years, rarely missing any, and I've seen the way the board dynamic works with the public change a lot over those years. When I first started to come, there was a lot of discussion during the meeting. And I always say, I never forget when Phyllis Pascucci was retiring, she said she would often come into a meeting and after the discussions back and forth with one idea, she would leave with a different understanding and maybe change her mind. It was refreshing and wonderful to see the board work, for the public to see the board work in this open forum, which we're all here to see the board work. It did change over the years to only the president was allowed to speak and only the president was allowed to answer questions. So I'm not sure how the order of the meeting keeps changing, but if we're gonna write emails, are we allowed to ask questions and they'll be only answered through email? There should be a public portion where some of us have questions that are on behalf of a lot of the public. So I just think, and I have to take this off, I'm talking, I can't breathe. I just think they should be able to hear the answers here. So maybe community relations, that's something to discuss also. I think that should be reconsidered. The last thing is on a much lighter note, but something that is important to me, and I think that we should have been considering for a long time, which is I grew up here, so I've been here my whole life, and on February 23rd, Homedale will be 165 years old. And it has always bothered me that as my kids are going through the school, there's no Homedale history taught at all. When I was a kid, we took class trips to the Holmes Hendrickson house. We learned a lot of things about Homedale. There's a lot of notable people that come from Homedale, a lot of amazing things that happen in Homedale. Crawford Hill is the highest point in Monmouth County and in the coastal plain of New Jersey. There's a lot of things people don't know about Homedale, but I would love if we could take that day in each of the schools and maybe just take an hour in each of the classes, and I'm happy to consult on some of the history that would be appropriate for each of these aged kids. I think it's interesting when I learned all of this in Indian Hill when I was in first or second grade, because back then, K through five, Indian Hill was one side of town. K through five Village was the other side of town. And we didn't meet each other until we were in sixth grade in intermediate, which is now SATS. There's a lot of fun things. Where did the Hornet come from? You know, what is the school song? I just think that, and I'm going to be writing a letter about it to you and to the Township Committee, because I think that we all should have a celebration of Homedale on February 23rd and start it at some point. Since my kids are almost done now, I'd like to get that done before the end. That's a
thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi, Kristen Barber, 19 Red Coach Lane. I just want to start off by saying thank you, Terrence, always writing back. Your transparency on the whole plexiglass helping us get down. So thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Howard. You always write back promptly.
very professional, never to my personal email, very transparent. And thank you, Mr. Hammer, for the two times you've now mentioned the whole health curriculum, which is why I'm here to talk tonight. I'm speaking tonight to address the new sex education standards that are coming to Homedale this fall. My request is to please postpone putting these standards into our curriculum until we have workshops to educate our parents, websites that are completely updated, library books that are listed by grade online for parents to access, and full transparency. I recently spent several hours on our school website and researching different policies, curriculum specifically in health education and in the lower, mostly in the lower grades. And I was shocked to see it was totally outdated. As I scanned the kindergarten health education books and then scanned the third grade books, they were almost identical. Then I went into researching the curriculum standards, and again, almost identical, as if someone just copied and pasted them from the different grades. How is that possible that kindergarten and third graders are learning the same exact thing? I called the administration office. They said they'd have it updated. And then I called again, no changes, and that was before winter break. So my biggest thing is I just wanted to be transparent. Recently, I heard a story from a mom whose daughter, who was in first grade, came home, and she's a mom like me, very involved, thinks she's ahead of the game, and it turned out her daughter learned that day under family structure in the lesson plan, and they put in a book about transgender. So now, it's after the fact, right? You can't erase what she learned. I, as a mom, and I'm sure a lot of parents here believe that that's something that you want to teach your child. You want them to know it's nothing being for or against. It's something I believe should be taught at home and definitely not in first grade. So to say that, in our last meeting, we asked when this curriculum was going to be available to parents, and they said in the summer. To me, that's not enough time. We need to postpone it. We need to push it back. We need to educate parents. We need to update our websites. We need to know what is in our kids' libraries. It should be all available to us online, and none of it is. So then I think we could talk about the new curriculum. Until then, I think it should be a standstill. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I see no one else. I'd like a motion to adjourn.
Move. Second.
We're done.
Hit that.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.